Silent, safe and secure. As snug as a baby wrapped up in a blanket. Is that how you feel? Could you say that you are silent, safe and secure? Well, today we're going to be looking at these topics and to see what they mean for us. In relation to silence, I wonder, how silent are you? Are you a quiet type or are you noisy? I think there's a place for all types of personalities, but more particularly, are you the kind of person who gets on well with other people, or are you the kind of person who always seems to be rubbing up other people in the wrong way? Is your life permeated with a sense of peace, or is it characterized by conflict? One of the things we can't avoid as human beings is other people. And that's because we human beings, we're a social species. In order to survive as children, we need others to look after us. And that need is one of the key reasons for the existence of society. Society is supposed to be a good thing. God has made us to be social creatures, and that's one of the things that we're meant to enjoy as children in God's family and as members of his church. We have this sense of society among ourselves, founded upon God and his word. But sometimes it's not easy getting on with one another. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 12:18 that we should live peaceably with everyone as much as we possibly can. We can see from that that God loves social harmony. But sadly, some people promote disharmony rather than harmony. Now I wonder, have you ever seen one neighbour shouting at another neighbour before? Have you ever witnessed an incident of road rage? Have you ever seen fights at school? And perhaps you may have even been the victim of these types of incident before. For whatever reason, sometimes people get in our way or let us down or do bad things to us or hurt us. For some people, just the way another person looks at them is enough for them to dislike them. But looking down on other people, despising them or treating them with contempt isn't something which the Bible promotes as being the wise way forward, especially when it leads to verbal abuse or actions by which we seek to hurt the person that we don't like. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 11, verse 12, that anyone who despises their neighbour lacks sense. There's something missing from your heart when we look down upon other people, and especially when we allow our dislike of others to result in some kind of verbal altercation. You can picture living in society a bit like driving a car. Sometimes when you're out on the road, other drivers do stupid things. For example, sometimes drivers can fail to signal when they're turning or moving lanes. At times, they can fail to give way or even cut you off. Now think about it. When something like that happens to you on the road, how do you respond? Are you the kind of person who would react by shouting abuse from your car at the other person? Are you the kind of person who would give a long blast of your horn out of anger at the stupid idiot who has cut you off? Sure, it may be appropriate when someone does something stupid on the road or dangerous to give them a gentle honk with your horn, just to remind them that what they did wasn't the best. But instead of a gentle honk, are you the kind of person who lets off steam by keeping your hand pressed against the horn for as long as possible? Now, Solomon tells us that by way of contrast to the fool who despises his neighbour, a person of understanding at times is silent. Sometimes it's best not to react. Sometimes it's best to keep our thoughts
to ourselves and to stay silent. I guess if there's an issue between you and some other person, as Christians, we've got to think about the purpose and the effect of our words on that other person. Instead of just reacting, which seems often to be the natural thing that we do, we need to start to develop godly habits of speaking, no matter the situation. So even when people do us wrong or they let us down, we need to develop a sense in which our words are other-centered rather than just self-centered. So think about it. Times when you've been involved in an argument before. When you're involved in an argument, do you stop to think what's actually best for the person that you're interacting with? You know, as Christians, we should have within us a desire that every person we interact with should come to know God and to be living in a way that pleases God. And that desire should shape how we speak to others, even in nasty situations. In fact, that desire should determine whether we actually say something to that person or else stay silent. When speaking will be just like pouring oil on a flaming fire, then in such a situation, keeping quiet is the wise thing to do. A person of understanding who's confident in one's own sense of acceptance before God doesn't need to project him or herself onto others with abusive words. And likewise, when it comes to gossip, are you the kind of person who's always telling tales about other people? Do you like pointing out to your friends or anyone who would listen the faults of other people? People who go around telling tales about others often reveal things that they know about other people that, ordinarily speaking, are no one else's business. Have you ever done that before? Betrayed a confidence? The person who goes around telling tales often reveals the secrets of others that it would have been better for other people not to know about. Now, Solomon isn't talking here about hiding the truth. But sometimes the truth about a particular person's personal problems doesn't need to be the subject of other people's discussion. Solomon tells us that by way of contrast to the tale teller, a person who is trustworthy of spirit conceals matters that should be concealed. So next time you find yourself talking to someone about a third party, just ask yourself, is that information something that you should be revealing or something that you should be concealing? Particularly if it's something that a friend or a relative has shared with you in confidence, then to go out and blab about it to others, more often than not, would constitute a betrayal of confidence. Sometimes being silent is the best way forward. What about safety? In terms of safety, how safe do you feel? Now, Solomon has some words of advice for us, moving from the issue of silence to safety in verse 14. He tells us that where there is no guidance, a people fails. Guidance, advice, counsel. Everyone needs knowledge in order to be safe and to survive. Now think about the foods that we eat. How do you know what is good to eat and what is harmful? It's because others, mainly your parents, have advised through the food that they serve up to you every day what's good and what's not to eat. And your parents in turn have been advised by others about what we should eat and what we can't. And that goes back down, I guess, in human history to the first people who discovered, well, this food is good compared to the food that is bad. How do we know that drinking cow's milk is generally good for you, whereas drinking hydrochloric acid isn't? It's actually from the experience of someone in the know about drinking hydrochloric acid. They've passed down that information to us in the form of necessary advice. So without guidance or advice from people in the know, bad consequences can easily arise. And friends, this happens on all levels. On an individual level, on an organizational level, even on a national or an international level. Leaders of nations have advisors, don't they? Why do they have advisors? Because most leaders don't know everything about everything. There are times when leaders need to seek the advice of others who are considered to be experts in their field or wise in weighing up decisions. You know, when leaders don't seek out advice in areas that they are relatively inexperienced in, what can happen? Well, they can easily end up making bad decisions. In fact, at times, because there's been inadequate advice, it can result in military defeat or some other kind of suffering for the people of that particular nation. Contrast the situation when there's a lack of guidance to when there is an abundance of counselors on hand. When the leader of a nation has access to guidance and advice from people with knowledge and experience, then this can bring about deliverance from any troubles that they might be facing. An abundance of counselors with good advice can bring safety to a nation. And on an individual level or at an organizational level, whether in the family or in church or in the workplace, the same principle applies. Wise counsel brings safety. It helps us make the right decisions. So the question for each one of us in the light of what Solomon is saying here is, are you the kind of person who seeks out guidance? Are you the kind of person who is humble enough to know that you don't know it all and therefore that you need to seek advice from others who might be more knowledgeable about the particular issue involved than you? Think about it. Why else do we go to school or pay tutors to teach us maths or physics? It's because we realize that there are some people who know more than us about particular subjects. And we want to learn from their experience. We want to learn from their knowledge. And friends, this doesn't just apply to worldly knowledge. The same principle also applies to spiritual knowledge. Some people think that religious questions, in the end, are simply just matters of personal opinion. A lot of people think that way. They think that each person's opinion is just as valid as the next person's opinion. You've probably heard people say that before, but actually, that's a ridiculous position to hold. If in worldly fields of study, such as science or medicine or economics or art, we acknowledge that some people are more expert than others, then why is it on a spiritual level we think that all opinions are basically the same in terms of validity? Even just among Christians, some Christians know more about the Bible than others. Some Christians understand more about the gospel than others. That's one of the reasons why we come to church and why we have Bible study groups. That's also one of the reasons why we encourage those who are going to teach God's word on a sustained basis to go and get trained in reading and understanding the Bible and how to teach it. Now just think about the issue of the Bibles that we read. It's a simple fact of the matter that most Christians don't understand the original languages in which the Bible was written. Most Christians, for example, don't read biblical Hebrew or Greek. Most of us here read the Bible in English or perhaps Chinese or some other modern language. But that actually means that we're dependent upon the advice and knowledge of Bible translators for each and every sentence that we read in the Bible. And the Bible translators, in turn, are dependent upon the teachers who taught them the original languages, who in turn are dependent upon those who taught them. So you can see from that that no one is an island when it comes to knowing and understanding God's word. If we understand that, then we should be willing to seek out good counselors, good teachers who can help us to grow in our understanding. Not all religious opinions are equally valid. Some are more valid than others. In fact, some opinions are downright wrong, dangerous, or heretical. As Christians, we believe that the touchstone when it comes to spiritual truth is the Bible. We believe that the ultimate expert in the field of spiritual truth is God. For our views about religion or spirituality, therefore, to be valid, our views must accord with God's views as communicated to us through the Bible. So, in terms of spiritual salvation and safety, having a number of expert spiritual counselors that you can listen to and learn from in life is a wise thing to have. So I want us to think about this question. Are you the kind of person who seeks out advice from a number of different expert sources? According to Solomon, an abundance of expert guidance and counsel makes us safe. And finally, we come to the issue of security, which you might think is related to safety. But how secure do you feel? Now, obviously, security applies to us on a number of different levels. We can talk about physical security, emotional security, food security, job security, financial security, national security, spiritual security, even the security of friendship or the security of a marriage. But the security that Solomon has in mind in verse 15 has more to do with financial security, and in particular, the insecurity that comes from security. How does that fit together? Let's think about this. In financial terms, a security is generally defined as any kind of financial asset that is tradable. Things like banknotes, bonds, and stocks. You can buy and sell them. But the particular kind of security that Solomon has in mind in verse 15 is the issue of going surety for someone. In particular, for people you don't really know. To go surety for someone means to promise to pay the debt of person A to person B if person A defaults on his debt payments. So to go surety for someone has to do with agreeing to become the guarantor to someone who is seeking some kind of loan. Now that is something that often happens in business. It's something that can also happen in families. For example, when the parents go guarantor with the bank for their child who is seeking to borrow money to buy a house. Now, is it wise to put yourself forward as security for another person's debts? According to the book of Proverbs, it's basically not a good idea to stand as security for someone else's debts. We can see this in Proverbs 22, verses 26 and 27. It says, "Don't be one of those who shake hands in pledge, who put up security for debts. If you've nothing with which to pay, why should they take your bed from under you?" So we can see from that according to the book of Proverbs, being in debt is something generally to be avoided. And it really only makes sense to be in debt if your debt allows you to purchase an asset whose value will increase enough or generate enough income to make it worthwhile. So because going into debt is most times not the wisest thing to do, going guarantor for another person's debt takes on the same colour. Standing as security for another person actually leads to financial insecurity. We can see here that the biblical teaching against standing as surety for someone else financially is some important practical advice here. And it's advice that generally applies across the board. Although it should be noted that most of the time when we encounter this kind of teaching in the Bible, it's usually put in terms of not going surety for a neighbour or for a stranger. Like what we see here in verse 15 in Proverbs 11, where Solomon says, "The wicked suffers harm, when he goes surety for a stranger. But he who hates shaking hands in pledge is secure. To be financially secure, then don't go surety for others. And in particular, the use of the word stranger there in verse 15 reminds us that the less you truly know someone, the more you should avoid going guarantor on their behalf. Having our own debts is bad enough without taking on the debts of others. All in all, what do we see from these proverbs today? Well, all in all, Solomon is wanting us to be silent, safe, and secure. So, don't talk against or about others when you don't need to. Make sure you seek out guidance and advice, and don't stand as security for the debts of other people. That way, you'll be silent, safe, and secure.